May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer.
Amen.
Please be seated. We should all be wearing crash helmets. Ushers should issue life preservers and signal flares. They should lash us to our pews, for the sleeping God may wake someday and take offense, or the waking God may draw us to where we can never return. I wish I could take credit for that awesome image of what we do here each week, but it was Annie Dillard who actually wrote that. Annie was right. Being a disciple is not safe. Our faith is good, it is right, and it is true, but it isn't quite safe. If we are followers of Jesus, then he just might lead us to where we can never return. In the face of growing opposition to his ministry, Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every illness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Now, Jesus didn't just feel a tug at his heart as he heals and teaches and proclaims the good news of the kingdom among the beleaguered and helpless crowds. He is moved to the depths of his being. He is moved with compassion for the people around him, and he asks the disciples to pray that God will send helpers. And whom does God send in response to those prayers? Who are the answers to those prayers? It was the disciples, and thus the mission of the church has begun. The disciples will have to go among the crowds, speak to them directly, hold their hands, look into their eyes. And the disciples, too, will be moved to the depths of their being to have compassion for the lost sheep. To be a disciple of Jesus is to carry the message of the nearness of God's kingdom to beleaguered and helpless people out there where they are, in their homes and their workplaces, shops, wherever we meet them. If we are truly disciples of Jesus, followers and not merely admirers only, then we are sent to those places, and we might never return. At least, we might not come back unchanged. We are sent in our bodies, with our hearts and minds and hands. We are sent out to feed the hungry, to comfort those who grieve and those who are alone, and to stand alongside the oppressed to proclaim the good news of the gospel. The gospel is proclaimed most effectively not by arguing the principles of faith, but by each one of us being for someone else, the very story of Jesus Christ. We do that by witnessing to those audacious, wonderful, scandalous, beautiful, not quite safe things that Jesus has done in our own lives. By doing for those people out there those wonderful, audacious, scandalous, beautiful, not quite safe things that Jesus has done for us. Healing, helping people overcome the forces that hold them in bondage, proclaiming the good news that the kingdom is near. And these things are not always done in quiet places. As a matter of fact, they are often done in the midst of turmoil and chaos. It isn't always safe to be a disciple, either physically, emotionally, or spiritually. Because like Jesus, like the 12, we just might be moved to the depths of our being. And when that happens, we have to go out to love and serve the Lord by going out to love and serve God's people. And my sisters and brothers, that loving and serving happens in the chaos and turmoil of the lives of those to whom we are sent. And it happens in the chaos and turmoil of our own lives. That is why it's so necessary for the disciples and us to carry our peace with us when we practice this faith that is good and right and true, but not quite safe. St. Paul, who knows very personally the not quite safeness of discipleship, in the very short reading from his letter to the church in Corinth, gives us a key to carrying our peace with us on our mission. In living our faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand. St. Paul's image of grace is of a space in which we stand, a room, a sanctuary. That sanctuary is grace, the sphere of God's grace. When we enter into that sphere of God's grace, we're able to access the peace of God, which truly passes all understanding. And here's how we carry that peace with us. I believe that each of us has a smaller, similar sphere within ourselves that is filled with that peace when we open our hearts to the grace of God. I want you to imagine that sphere within your core right now. Close your eyes if you need to. Imagine that sphere opening like a morning glory to receive the light of the sun. Imagine that light is God's grace, God's love for you. Now, let that love and that peace fill the sphere in the core of your being. Breathe out. Breathe in. Breathe out. Breathe in. This is the peace that Jesus instructs the disciples to carry with them as he sends them out into the chaos and turmoil of their mission, to heal, liberate, and bring the gospel of Christ to the lost sheep of Israel. You can open your eyes again. We have been given a greater commission to be the story of Jesus Christ for all people, the whole world. And we'll also need to carry that peace of God that comes to us through the sphere of grace in which we stand. We will need that peace if we are to be true disciples of Jesus and not merely admirers. We will need that peace as we step out of our comfort zone of this sanctuary. We may even need to move out of our comfort zone of mission as check writing. Don't get me wrong, that's an important ministry in and of itself. But it is not the fullness of discipleship. The fullness of discipleship means being the story of the good news, person to person, eye to eye, hand in hand. And that can be scary business for many of us. But you know what? We have a long history at Holy Trinity. We have a long history of sending disciples to the farthest reaches of the globe, to Haiti, to Hong Kong, to Ecuador. We have a dedicated core of people who literally serve up food to the homeless at our daily rest in Seneca, and to shut-ins on Christmas Day through Meals on Wheels from our kitchen, and who set up a place right here for homeless families to work their way toward transitional housing with Family Promise. You can be directly involved in being good news for someone on the other side of the world or right here who needs it. Someone who needs that good news. And you can do it through any of those ministries and more. It isn't too late to get in on the startup of the Y Mentor program in our local Clemson schools. You can be good news to a student in one of our schools who needs encouragement for academic success. Chloe, our family ministry coordinator, and our new deacon, Christopher, are putting together some opportunities for families to be good news together. I want you to watch for those announcements coming later this summer and this fall. I'm asking you to think about where you will take that piece that you hold in your core, how you will serve, how you will be the story of the good news for someone else, person to person, eye to eye, hand in hand, just as Jesus did, just as the 12 did, even Judas Iscariot, and as countless disciples have done before us. When we leave here today, step out in faith, knowing you have access to God's grace, God's peace, and God's love to sustain you in your mission to be the story of the good news of the love of God in Jesus Christ. Breathe in. Breathe out. Hold on to the peace that you've been given. Then go. Carry your peace out the door with you to share it with someone else. God knows the world needs you and your peace.